With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Things might have been different for James Lachlan, founder of the small but proud literary publishing house of New Directions, had he gone into the family steel business in Pittsburgh, Jones and Lachlan Steel. But James Lachlan recalls the visits he was required to make to the mill as a child.
I was terrified. It's like hell. These roaring furnaces scare you to death, and then these overhead cranes of giant ladles of molten steel going off overhead, hooting like a fire engine. Oh, thank you, no.
A son of a business family, James Lachlan nevertheless developed a literary mind.
He had books in the living room, but nobody read them. And the only person I used to joke about that ever took the book down was the parlor maid to dust them.
On the wall in the Manhattan offices of New Directions is a framed doctor's prescription for James Lachlan, written sometime in the late 30s or early 40s. It prescribes medicine for Lachlan's sinus problem. It's signed by William C. Williams, M.D. of Rutherford, New Jersey. The doctor, of course, was also the great poet William Carlos Williams. That framed prescription is evidence of the relationships Lachlan formed with many of the writers he has published over the past 50 years. A who's who in letters. Ezra Pound, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Thomas Merton, Henry Miller, Boris Pasternak, Tennessee Williams. James Lachlan says that New Directions, with its staff of six, is unlikely to handle a book in the blockbuster category.
These companies like Simon & Schuster, they're backed by Gulf & Western. What's his name, Snyder? Could call up the Gulf and Western man and say, I need an extra $1 million to get a new book out of Judy Krantz. It's a different league.
James Lachlan's relationship with the poet Ezra Pound led to the creation of New Directions in 1936, a story that we'll examine in the next four reports. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. It was 1934. After a year at Harvard, James Lachlan, who later became the founder and publisher of New Directions Books, got bored. So armed with a letter of introduction, James Lachlan headed to Rapallo, Italy, for a fateful meeting with the poet, Ezra Pound.
He was kind enough to let me enroll in what he called his esuversity. No tuition. Classes took place usually at lunch and dinner, and he just talked. And he talked about everything.
James Lachlan found unpalatable the anti-Semitism of Ezra Pound, already showing some of the insanity that was to institutionalize him. And yet, Pound cast a spell on him.
He knew I wanted to be a poet, and he said, your poetry stinks. He said, there's no use you're trying to write fiction because Flaubert and Stendhal and Henry James have done everything that can be done with fiction, so why bother? He said, you should do something useful. And I said to him, what's useful? He had wonderful Cracker Barrel accents. He said, well, he said, you might go back there and assassinate Henry Seidel Canby, who was the editor of the Saturday Review and a great bête noir of Ezra's. And Ezra thought about it and he said, no, you're too stupid.
But Ezra Pound came up with an idea.
You try and find out if you can print books right side up, and I will let you be my publisher.
So Lachlan went back to Harvard thinking about the books that were to come.
I didn't know anything about printing books, whatever, or marketing them. There were a couple of printers in Harvard Square, and they showed me how to print a book. And I went around my car to bookstores and learned an awful lot that way.
That marked the beginning of James Lachlan's New Directions, which has noted its half century of publishing with an anthology, New Directions in Prose and Poetry 50. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Because of his acquaintance with the poet Ezra Pound, James Lachlan, who later became the founder of New Directions Books, began editing the literary page in a monthly magazine that espoused a theory of economic reform called social credit. Lachlan says Ezra Pound was a champion of social credit in the mid-1930s.
Some of the central ideas of it, I think, are still sound. Ezra was against debt, which he said, never borrow a dime from the banks because they're all usurers.
The magazine folded, but the authors that Lachlan got to know through Ezra Pound contributed to an anthology called New Directions, 1936. James Lachlan, then a Harvard student, drove to bookstores and peddled the book himself.
They didn't know who any of these people were, but they were, you know, kind bookstore ladies, and they'd see this poor young man coming in there sweating, and they'd buy a few books.
Mostly unknown at the time, many of the writers in those first books are now literary legends. T.S. Eliot, Gertrude Stein, Marianne Moore, E.E. Cummings, William Carlos Williams.
really put the books across was when professors began to get interested in them and would tell the students to buy them for class.
Using his allowance and contributions from his family, James Laughlin, part of the Steele family associated with Jones and Laughlin, kept New Directions alive until it began to show some profit in the early 1960s. James Laughlin no longer sees New Directions as avant-garde.
There is no longer a defined avant-garde. But there was, at the time that I started, you see, in 1936, there were some very good writers who were outside the commercial system and who were experimenting.
Laughlin has ignored the advice of Ezra Pound, who told him he would never be a poet. City Lights Books of San Francisco has published James Laughlin's book, Selected Poems, 1935 to 1985. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. It was tough being a publisher in the days before the 1960s. That's because most Americans accepted government censorship as a necessary evil.
I was lucky because our books didn't get much publicity.
That's James Laughlin, founder of New Directions, a publishing house that helped to introduce Americans to Henry Miller, Vladimir Nabokov, and Gertrude Stein. Laughlin recalls the mid-1930s when the poet Ezra Pound threw a book written by Henry Miller across the table saying, "Here's a dirty book. That's pretty good."
I wrote to Henry. You know, as a kid, I was enthralled with all his extraordinary sexual exploitism. And we developed a correspondence, and over the years, we published about 20 books of Henry Miller's that would not too much upset my family.
That's because James Laughlin's family, heirs to the Pittsburgh steel fortune, bankroll Laughlin's hobby, publishing books.
I was dependent on them for first for my allowance, then for the money they would lend me to bring out books. And I knew if I published Henry Miller's Tropic of Cancer, that would be the end of New Directions, you know, as far as financing from the family. I mean, that was just one of the realities of life.
If New Directions has never published a dirty book, it has also never published a big book, a blockbuster.
Simply aren't equipped to handle them, either technically printing them or distributing. Our distribution is all done by W.W. Norton, because we found that doing the actual distribution, warehousing, billing, collecting, all that was just too much for us. See, we only have 6 people working here.
But over the years, 2 New Directions books did sell more than 1 million copies. Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse and Coney Island of the Mind by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. James Laughlin's New Directions reached the mellow age of 50 in 1986. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The publishing house of New Directions has gone in its own, well, direction, thanks to James Laughlin, who founded the firm in 1936. New Directions is a literary publishing house, highbrow, if you will, and Laughlin says that for the most part, writers he has already published bring new manuscripts to the attention of the editorial staff.
You could make a line kind of like a tree, beginning with Pound, going through Williams, moving through Kenneth Rexroth, into sort of Denise Levertov, Gary Snyder, and almost all of our best things are recommended by one of these people.
Back in 1934, Ezra Pound told James Laughlin he would never be a poet. Believing that, Laughlin stopped writing, but began again with the encouragement of the late William Carlos Williams.
He looked it over and he said, "Now you ought to try this again," and he gave me some pointers on how to use what we call the typewriter metric.
The typewriter metric, in which the arbitrary visual pattern of the type controls the cadence. Laughlin has published a number of books of poetry, the latest from City Lights Books, Selected Poems, 1935 to 1985.
I think poetry should be fun. I try to write light verse. Occasionally there's a serious idea stuck in there.
Laughlin advises readers of poetry who become bogged down in lines they don't understand to skip them and go on to another poem. Now in his 70s, James Laughlin has moved to secure the survival of New Directions books upon his retirement or death.
I've set up a trust to continue it. We have a wonderful staff, a substantial trust fund, which will enable them to continue it as long as the writers or other people feel that it should be continued.
James Laughlin, who in 1986 celebrated a half century as the publisher of New Directions. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain.